This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I am Corey Fleck, and I am actually going to be your host for the full 2 hours. Al, unfortunately, has a bit of a health issue coming that popped back up this week, so he is out of commission for KER Politics. That means you are getting a full 2 hours of market commentary and some economic comments. For the first hour, we're going to be focusing more on the general markets, and in the second hour, more on resources and precious metals. To kick off the show, I am chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. And Dana, on your free blog, you have been outlining some, I guess we can call them red flags for the equity markets in terms of the recent rallies we've been seeing, especially in tech. Some of the headlines of your articles have been the tech rally getting extended, the tech rally getting thinner, as well as small caps struggle to keep pace. These two sectors have been the leaders and helping to support the general markets move higher. What do you have to say when you see these red flags pop up in the market leaders?
Yeah, it's correct. I'm glad you mentioned that they have been leaders, and we have been pretty concentrated in the long portion of our portfolio in technology and small caps as they have led the way of late. But we're starting to see, and you termed it appropriately, red flags pop up, in particular last week's high in the NASDAQ. We saw it accompanied by both poor showing in the Russell 2000 and the small cap sector during that high in the NASDAQ, and also saw in one of those new highs, we saw actually the lowest percentage of advancing volume on the NASDAQ exchange of any new high in the NASDAQ 100's history. So we're starting to see some of these red flags pop up. They're more anecdotal things. I mean, they're statistical, but more anecdotal in that they're not necessarily indicative of or confirming a change in trend or anything like that. They're more, like you said, red flags and cautionary signs that, you know, perhaps the rally is not as robust and pretty flawless as it's been for much of the years since that earlier correction. So that certainly has our attention, and it's not making us necessarily bail out of the market or certainly not short the market. In fact, we will continue to buy the dips, especially in the technology sector, until proven wrong. But it does it does have us on our toes and have us a bit less aggressive in continuing to pile into the market here.
So the one chart that you posted that I found pretty interesting that was inside that article of the tech rally getting extended was the NASDAQ 100, the NDX. You observed that there is a key Fibonacci extension of 161.8%. This comes from the major 2000 to 2002 bear market. What does this level mean? Why is this Fibonacci extension so crucial?
Well, that's an important one for us, and if for folks that don't follow the Fibonacci sequence, it's a mathematical sequence that you'll find all walks of life, especially in nature, follow these certain mathematical patterns, and the markets are no different. You'll see prices flow in certain orders of magnitude that are consistent with this mathematical sequence founded by this guy named Fibonacci hundreds of years ago. But the key number is really 61.8%, which is one Fibonacci number divided by the next. And what we see oftentimes is after a market or an index will break its range, it will move, say it breaks up out of a range, it'll move to the upside on some order of that magnitude. Often, if once it hits 61.8% of that range above it, then it might not necessarily end there, but it'll slow down or stop or pause temporarily. And basically, it area often serves as resistance. So it doesn't happen all the time, and it's not as, you know, a lesser correction in the past producing such a number might not be as crucial. But obviously, you look at a chart, long-term chart of the NASDAQ 100, and obviously that 2000 to 2002 bubble pop period really stands out. So the 161.8 extension of that dot-com burst lines up around 7,300 in the NASDAQ 100, which is exactly where we're trading right now. So that could, this general vicinity is obviously a long-term duration, so there could be some movement back and forth in the short term, but this general vicinity very well could serve as some sort of a stopping ground if it doesn't, or at least a temporary pause in prices here after we've seen this this monster rally in technology. I will say one, if you want to see another example of this type of Fibonacci analysis in work, if you go back to the 2015 top in the S&P 500 and you measure the 161.8% Fibonacci extension of that 2007 to 2009 decline, that lined up around the 2130 level in the S&P, which is where we topped in 2015 and moved sideways for about a year before finally breaking that. So this analysis does have a pretty consistent track record, especially in the major numbers and based off of the major moves, which we would say obviously that 2000 to 2002 bear market in the NASDAQ was major. So that has us certainly has our attention as far as where prices might top out, at least temporarily here.
So, Dana, you made the comment that even though you're seeing these red flags or warning signs, that you're still taking the mentality of buy the dip in terms of when you get a pullback. You still think that the markets can recover from that, especially in these sectors. Does that mean that because the rally is so thin that there is a possibility if money flows back in that it hits a wider range of stocks and results in potentially a more sustainable rally higher?
Yeah, I would say we consider these red flags because the more major of our indicators are based on breadth and based on momentum. They have not necessarily rolled over yet, especially as it pertains to the NASDAQ. So when we say thin high, it's based on really that high of a week ago. It's not necessarily every single high is getting thinner and thinner, but there are a couple days that saw a particularly thin high. So until we see maybe a more consistent trend of those circumstances evolve, then we'll continue to at least give the benefit of the doubt to the bull. Maybe we won't be as aggressive in buying the dip, and maybe we'll be a little more selective in how major support areas and more select in the specific areas that we are buying as far as pullbacks to support and buying the dip mentality. But we do have until that trend is over, and the trend can last longer than you think it will, but until that trend is demonstrably and decisively broken, then we'll continue to buy the dip into support areas.
So, Dana, what would it take to change your mind in terms of worrying more about a sustainable pullback rather than a buy-the-dip mentality?
It'll be a change, a shift in our models. So our models are still a little bit wavering, but many of the key components are still positive in our models. And once they do turn decisively lower, then we will more aggressively get out of the market or even short the market, even if prices continue to hold up.
Okay, so right now, even though this rally has been weak, you're not turning bearish. Hey, Dana, great chatting with you. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks. Corey.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Who has the only raw living whole plant hemp CBD extract in the world? MetaHemp Solutions, a radically innovative approach to hemp CBDs for exceptional results. Why? Because they contain absolutely all the elements present in the original plant. All our hemp CBD products are independently lab tested for potency and purity and manufactured in our FDA registered facility. Try it today. 10% off with coupon code GCN10. Call 833-858-7500. That's 833-858-7500. Or buy MetaHemp Solutions today at MetaHempSolutions.com. That's MetaHempSolutions.com.
Have you had credit challenges, divorce, bankruptcy, or just haven't established your credit yet? If so, getting a decent car loan can be tough. The good news is that there is a place where you can get a car loan at a fair price, regardless of your credit situation. Auto Loan Express can make it happen now when you visit newcar99.com. Here's the deal. If you have a regular job, then there's no reason to keep taking the bus or repairing that old junker. Go to newcar99.com today and fill out our simple online application. We accept over 99% set of applicants and can get you behind the wheel of your new car with just a few strokes of your keyboard. No hassles, no third degree. Just fill out the simple online application and start shopping for your next car. So when you're ready to get on the road with your new car loan, visit us online at newcar99.com, where we accept 99% of all applications. newcar99.com. If you have a job, then you qualify. Here's to you and your new car. Visit newcar99.com. newcar99.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
If you're young and healthy, you don't need life insurance, right? Yeah, that's what I used to think, too, until my brother died at 38. Joe left his wife with two kids, a mortgage, and a stack of bills she couldn't pay. Mary had to sell the house and move everybody into this tiny two-bedroom apartment just to make ends meet. I never want to do that to my wife, so I got life insurance. I called AIG Direct and was really surprised how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. Listen, if you have a family, you should seriously think about getting life insurance. You'll feel a lot better having it. Trust me.
Call AIG Direct for a free, no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you could save up to 70%. Call now. 1-800-910-7981. That's 1-800-910-7981. 1-800-910-7981.
Get the ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S. The Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber. Go to TheUltimateKnife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own. And only available at TheUltimateKnife.com. Use promo code radio at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at TheUltimateKnife.com.
Weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed my conversation with Dana Lyons in the last segment. In this segment, I am bringing back on Mike Larson. I had him on the weekend show a couple weeks ago. He is the editor of the Safe Money Report. That is focused a bit more on income investing over at Weiss Ratings. And Mike, you and I were talking about the overall markets, and I made a comment about how slow the markets were and the sense of calm. And you said, you know what, I'm looking kind of behind the scenes and seeing some other examples of the markets having a bit more uneasiness and some actually pretty crazy swings. We can look at what happened to Facebook losing $120 billion in market cap in just one day as an example. Can you share kind of your thoughts on the Facebook example as well as a couple other areas that you're seeing maybe more shakiness that people might not be paying attention to?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, this is definitely one of those markets where I kind of get that sort of eerie Titanic feeling. You know, you only see part of the iceberg over the water, but underneath there's a lot more going on. And, you know, when you look at what happened to Facebook here, I mean, there's some commentary, mainstream commentary saying, oh, well, is it just Facebook specific? It's, you know, a situation where their earnings growth rate's going to slow a little bit. Their people are less engaged using the social media platform and so on. But, you know, the problem is with that argument is that this decline in market cap for one stock of almost $120 billion in one day, that's the biggest decline for any stock in any sector in the history of the U.S. market. You know, you go back to all the way to the tech wreck when obviously everybody says, oh, well, tech stocks were much more overvalued back then. There were so many companies not making any money and so on. But back then, the single biggest one-day decline was for Intel, and it lost $90.7 billion in a day. You go back to the depths of the stock market crash that we were having in 2008, and the single biggest decline for any one company in any one day back then was ExxonMobil in October of 2008 at about $52.5 billion. So again, $120 billion relative to what we've seen in the past is absolutely huge. And those are the stocks that get the notice. They're the biggest market cap. They're widely owned and so on. But one of the trends that's really concerned me over the last several months is the percentage of what I call garbage IPOs, companies coming public that don't make any money, that are very much me too sort of business models. It's, hey, Amazon, you know, got rich doing this, Facebook got rich doing this, we're going to copy it, but you know, behind the scenes, they're losing money like mad. They don't have the track record that these other companies do. And frankly, they look like they're all trying to get out of the gate while they still can, while the money's still there. You know, I worked at a .com in the late 1990s. We even came public and our stock proceeded to tank thereafter. And that was a sign, you know, it started happening to a bunch of other companies, and that was a sign that the mania was about to end. A lot of what I see happening now is very similar behind the scenes. I look at, you know, these companies, I kind of built this representative table of just a handful from, you know, they're mostly techs, they're mostly biotechs, but that's simply because those are the kinds of companies that went public in May and June and July and so on. But, you know, these companies in 1 month, literally in 1 month, are down anywhere from, you know, mid-teens to as much as 60%. And again, if you look at a lot of these charts, I mean, companies like DOMO, companies like UXIN, ZUO, DBX, you know, these are a lot of names that, you know, are either obscure in some cases, but in other cases they're relatively popular and so-called red-hot IPOs, and they're all tanking. And I think that that's a sign that, you know, again, behind the markets that you have to be concerned about. You're seeing that happen just like you saw sort of in that 1999-2000 time frame, and it definitely concerns me, especially when you layer that on top of these other, oh, this is not supposed to happen type moves. I mean, Facebook, you know, again, biggest one-day market cap decline ever, but there's a lot more of these biggest fill-in-the-blank type moves. I mean, look at what happened to the VIX back in February. You know, this I call it the VIX explosion. I mean, you went from about 12 to as high as 50 in the span of a couple of days. That was one of the biggest spikes in volatility that we've seen in this market since the credit crisis. So, again, things that are starting to happen that, you know, you have to kind of have your antenna up, and it doesn't mean we're all going to wake up on Monday and the Dow Jones is going to be down 5,000 points or something. But it is some concerning activity that doesn't get noticed as much because everybody's focusing on things like Facebook and Apple.
So where is the balance then, Mike? If you're seeing weakness in what sounds like stocks that should be weak in these garbage IPOs and seeing a company like Facebook come out with their earnings and some fairly negative forward guidance, yes, they're getting sold off. But then you see companies like Apple and some of the other high flyers, especially Apple, let's use that as an example, where it was trending higher, and as we're recording this, not quite at a $1 trillion market cap, they're still getting bought. So there's still a lot of money in the system. Is it just being more selective, or, again, where's the balance?
It's definitely being more selective. I mean, you look at something like the Dow, you're still 1,500 points, give or take, off the recent highs, whereas the NASDAQ Composite managed to set a new high. And then, again, we've seen that in the small caps as well. They set a new high. But if you look at utilities, they did not. If you look at, some of these other sort of sectors, the divergence in performance is a big story to me. Because, you know, when you look at the period post-March 2009 through really almost the blow-off high we had in January of this year, many more sectors and many more stocks were pulling together. It's like kind of a sled dog type analogy. You know, you've got eight dogs pulling the sled all at once, and that's exactly what you want to have in a powerful bull market. But now you're starting to see a lot more divergence, a lot more sort of split between the winners and the losers. Again, you know, Apple and a lot of these tech companies are very popular. They get all the press and the notice. But, you know, it's funny, on the very same day that Apple's hitting almost a $1 trillion market cap, look at Ford. Ford's trading for less than $10, and it's back to where it was in 2012. Now, this isn't some micro-cap company nobody's ever heard of. I mean, it's a company that's been in business for more than 100 years, and it's a center of our sort of industrial landscape. So, you know, for every, oh, look at what Apple's doing, you could say, look at what Ford's doing. You could say, Apple was great, but, you know, what about Netflix? They kind of whiffed a little bit, just like Facebook did. And that split, the sort of dichotomy between winners and losers is definitely getting a lot bigger. So, again, you know, I don't think it means we have to wake up and sell all of our stocks and hide under a rock tomorrow. But when I look at what I'm telling our investors to do, it's basically carry a much higher percentage of cash now. We're up to, in the model portfolio of the Safe Money Report, I'm running about 40% cash, whereas, you know, several months ago, before we started hitting this turmoil, it was basically fully invested. I'm doing that in my own 401k. I'm carrying much higher or much lower percentage of stock exposure simply because I think the outlook is a lot more mixed than it was throughout this bull market. And I would add, you know, if you, for the remaining exposure that you do have, this is a time, in my opinion, that you want to start looking into, some of these higher yielding, safer type plays. And the funny thing is, everybody and their sister talks about what's going on in the tech stocks. But, you know, here's a funny anecdote. In the last 6 months, the XLU, which is the Utility Select Sector Spider Fund in the U.S., is up around 7%. The XLK, the Technology Select Sector Spider Fund, is up 4.2%. The XLU yields 2.5 times the XLK, so on top of that better performance, you're also getting 2.5 times the yield. And again, nobody talks about it because who wants to, you know, take up primetime TV talking about utilities? They're boring. But, you know, boring's one thing, making money's another, and I think that we're starting to see a change in the leadership, and that's what's important for your listeners.
Mike, unfortunately, we are out of time for this segment, but I do appreciate your comments. Everybody, stick around. I am going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hello, this is Dr. Bill Deagle, MD of NutraMedical.com, announcing the breakthrough Red Deer Velvet DR. It delivers the protected building blocks of all organs and tissues, allowing your own stem cells as architects and engineers to regenerate you. Not since fetal life, when aging does not occur, has such an amazing NutraMed been available to help heal you and regenerate you. Anti-aging requires that you correct mineral, activated nutraceutical, and jump the gene defects and poor diet you have to deliver the cellular tools for regeneration. You must remove old damaged cells and replace them with your young healthy cells to wind the biological clock to a younger you. Order your Red Deer Velvet DR now at NutraMedical.com 24/7 or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, NutriMedical, M-E-D-I-C-A-L.com. or call our order line, 888-212-8871.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Aging is one thing that affects everyone. George has talked about the power of stem cells for years. Now, there's a new serum that harnesses that stem cell power to bring back your youthful look. Beverly Hills doctor Nathan Newman.
Stem cells are basically our fountain of youth. This is what maintains our body's reparative, regenerative abilities. As we age, every cell breaks down and needs to be replaced, and what replaces it is the stem cell.
Dr. Newman and Jeunesse have developed Lumines. Lumines takes the science of stem cells using the same growth factor complex that literally heals our cells, slowing the appearance of the aging process. Apply Lumines twice daily, and on average, see results in a week. Learn more, watch our video, and order today at a special Coast website, healthylooking.com. Plus, there's a 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's healthylooking.com. Lumines, for a healthier, much younger, better-looking you. Buy now at healthylooking.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, I am chatting with Chris Martinson. He is the co-founder and co-editor of PeakProsperity.com. I always enjoy having Chris on the show because he covers and really takes a very level-headed look at what's going on in a wide range of markets, and more importantly, what's going on around the world in terms of economies and how different central banks and different players are tinkering with, well, let's call it the data as well as their own numbers. And that's what we're going to drive into here, Chris, is some of the recent earnings reports that we have seen from U.S. companies. Overall, earnings in the U.S. this quarter has been praised as being a very good quarter. But some of the major companies, let's touch on. First being Tesla. We haven't talked about Tesla a whole lot, but a headline from Bloomberg says that Tesla burned through less cash than analysts expected last quarter and said profit is around the corner after years of losses. That end part is so satisfying to me, saying that profit, we're going to see profit, but I know we haven't seen profit really ever. But still, investors take that as a positive. It just goes to show the craziness of the markets. Can you address what Tesla had to say and, again, the market reaction?
Sure. I'll just, you know, not only the craziness of the markets, but let's also talk about the amnesia of the markets, because Tesla said that in 2016 as well. Hey, you know, earnings are just around the corner. They expected to achieve profitability by the year end of 2016 on surging production and sales. Didn't happen. And so let's, you know, the spin from Bloomberg, it was wonderful, saying they burned through less cash than analysts expected. Of course, you know, you got to look at that number and understand that Tesla also put less money into capital expenditures than they had planned or, you know, prior. So really they're just trimming expenses. That's okay. But let's take a look at the headline number, the earnings, right? They reported $718 million of losses. That was its worst loss ever, more than double the loss that it had in the comparable quarter a year prior. So this is really, you know, the headline number for Tesla. It is a cash burning machine. But again, huge gain, 16-17% gain in its stock the day after the earnings announcement, on the basis of the idea that headline Tesla said it expects to achieve profitability by year end. No clue how they're going to do that, except they're going to somehow really, really ramp up production, which they've been having huge difficulties doing, building tents, doing it by hand, enormous quality control problems, 17,000 cars parked in what's called a factory gated lot off to the side. Nobody knows the status of those. Are those defective cars? Do they have to take another pass through the factory to get certified? Who knows what? But those were part of their production numbers. So who knows what's really involved? This is a mess of a company, and their balance sheet, Corey, is an absolute disaster. And for that, the market rewarded them with a 16% gain, nearly $9 billion of new market cap, bringing them to $59 billion, making them far more valuable than Ford, which can crank out 7,000 cars an hour.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing to me, is that these other established car manufacturers, yeah, they've had a little bit of a rough time, but they have all the supply chain down. One thing that's been the problem with Tesla is being unable to deliver the products that they said they would deliver, and the market beating them up at some times, but still not taking them out and almost killing that company. The company keeps on running, even though, as you pointed out, the biggest loss that we've seen in a quarterly report since, well, ever, I think. So that's pretty devastating for the company. But hey, you know what? They might be profitable by the end of the year. Seems crazy to me. Another company that garnered a lot of attention this week is Apple, reaching that $1 trillion market cap. Apple, hey, very profitable, has a big cash balance. But when you drive down to what they are doing with their cash, again, it's a company that hasn't been acquiring other companies. They have been pretty good at signifying and introducing new market segments. But overall, the company uses their excess cash just to buy back shares. There's a disconnect here, isn't there?
Well, there really is. I mean, let's take a quick peek. Huawei, the Chinese cell phone manufacturer, has now overtaken Apple as the leading deliverer of smartphones. I have a Huawei phone. I've got the Mate 8. It was roughly one-third the price of what I would consider to be a comparable Apple product. So you could clearly see that this is a mature industry. Smartphone shipments are projected to be down year over year, and there's a lot of competition in there. So it's kind of a saturated, mature market. So the Apple's magic has always been that next great product. You know, a lot of people, myself included, say, well, where is it? You know, I considered it a huge step backward when they decided to take the 3.5 millimeter jack off the phone. Big mistake. Other things like that. So they're tweaking at the edges. You know, there's no Steve Jobs at the helm right now. And where they did achieve some of their growth was in their services business. Hey, that's a good model. You know, that's, Amazon makes all of its profit out of its services side. So there's a model to be had there. But is this a company worth $1 trillion given everything it's done? And it's important to note, as you mentioned, 43% of the gain in Apple's stock price has been due to the share repurchase effect. So that's fine. I totally get why you do that. If you're a CEO, CFO, C-suite person, guess what? It's sexy. It's fun. You buy shares back. The algorithms reward you. You get the flashy headlines. But a responsible company does one of two things with its cash. It plows it back into new products and development, so it's putting it into R&D and its people, property, plant, and equipment. Or it pays down the debt on its balance sheet if it's got that. Apple has $220 billion of short and long-term debt on its balance sheet just parked there. So while they buy back the shares with cash off the balance sheet, they're actually eroding the balance sheet. Makes the stock look happy, but it doesn't give you as much of a cushion for a rainy day.
Now, this is a trend that we've been seeing in companies around the U.S., though, is the lack of true investment into new products or purchasing other companies to grow their business. The one thing that has been supporting these markets is share repurchases. Not exactly what I think the administration had in mind with these tax cuts, but really we shouldn't be expecting anything else since this has been happening for years, though, hasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know why that would have surprised anybody anywhere, including in the administration. That's what companies had been doing, and if you give them more cash that they get to repatriate, they'll buy more shares back. I mean, nothing was going to be surprising about that trend continuing. But I think it does bear mentioning that, you know, sometimes things go up, sometimes they go down, and companies are now more leveraged than they've ever been throughout this whole cycle. When you look at just aggregate levels of debt, how many trillions of dollars of debt are on corporate balance sheets, when you look at the number of loans that are outstanding to corporations, covenant light loans, all this stuff, we're at really, really high levels of leverage at this point in time. So as long as there's no economic hiccups going forward, not a bad strategy. But as you and I know, those tend to come along every so often.
Now, how concerning is that when you consider that the Fed is still going to most likely be hiking 2 times this year and a number of times next year, even though, let's say, the long end seems kind of stuck? Fact of the matter is rates are creeping higher.
Well, they are, and for a couple of reasons. One, because on the short end, the Fed has dedicated itself to raising the rates. Again, they're not doing it by the traditional method of pulling liquidity out of the marketplace. They're just turning a dial on interest and excess reserves. So yes, we have higher rates, but we still have all the liquidity we had before. On the long end, however, the Fed's starting to pull some of that liquidity out. We're starting to see actual real reductions in the Fed balance sheet, even though the ECB is still increasing its, and who knows what the Bank of Japan's up to any given day. They're doing something wacky with their balance sheet. But what we're seeing is diminishment of the treasury holdings of the Fed means there's a lot more product on the market. And the U.S. government is just a red ink machine right now, slated to spend $750 billion more than revenues in just the last 6 months of this fiscal year. And that's going to be continue for as far as the eye can see. So there'll be lots of new treasury paper out there looking for a home. And so that's going to actually be in competition with liquidity that's in other places in the market right now.
All right, Chris. Always great chatting with you. I think everyone can understand why I love having you on the show. Some great comments recapping this earnings season that we have been seeing. Some good, some bad, and a lot just confusing. Hey, Chris. Great chatting with you. Thanks again for your time today.
Likewise. Thank you, Corey.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
With uncertain times in the United States, it's only prudent to consider storing precious metals in a safe place outside our borders. At Miles Franklin, we have done just that for you. Partnered with the most respected storage company in the industry, Miles Franklin is proud to offer the only fully insured private safe deposit box program in North America, held in Vancouver and Toronto. Send us your previously purchased precious metals or have one of our brokers help you purchase something new. Questions? Please call one of our experienced brokers at 866-485-4346. Solid Foundational Storage, partnered with the most respected name in security. Maintaining an A+ Better Business Bureau rating and residing in Minnesota, the only state in America that regulates the precious metals industry, making doing business in precious metals with Miles Franklin the safest choice
Call us at 866-485-4346. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Limited, a name you can trust.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Have you had credit challenges, divorce, bankruptcy, or just haven't established your credit yet? If so, getting a decent car loan can be tough. The good news is that there is a place where you can get a car loan at a fair price, regardless of your credit situation. Auto Loan Express can make it happen now when you visit newcar99.com. Here's the deal. If you have a regular job, then there's no reason to keep taking the bus or repairing that old junker. Go to newcar99.com today and fill out our simple online application. We accept over 99% of applicants and can get you behind the wheel of your new car with just a few strokes of your keyboard. No hassles. No third degree. Just fill out the simple online application and start shopping for your next car. So when you're ready to get on the road with your new car loan, visit us online at newcar99.com, where we accept 99% of all applications. newcar99.com. If you have a job, then you qualify. Here's to you and your new car. Visit newcar99.com. newcar99.com.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. And just a reminder, as I mentioned at the onset of the hour, that the second hour will be saved again for KER in terms of the economic and stock discussions, mostly more focused on resources, but we are going to talk a fair bit about precious metals in this segment with my good friend Dan Oliver, founder of Myrmican Capital, based out of New York. And Dan, it's been actually quite a while since I had you back on the show. So to kick us off, I just want your general comments on the precious metals. We talk about gold and silver a lot. Well, I think we all understand just how under pressure the precious metals have been, and the stock's really been stuck in the mud, but thankfully not, let's say, sinking in some quicksand. What do you have to say about where the market stands in terms of precious metals?
Yeah, I think psychologically it's been very, very tough, because those of us who survived the downturn in 2014-15 and then enjoyed 16 were kind of ready for it to break higher and head on. And it looked like in January it was going to do that. It got to that 1350 level, and on the chart there was really no resistance between 1300 and 1400 depending where you draw the line, and up back to $1,700. So I think everyone was psychologically ready for that. And then as these things happen, when you have a failed breakout, it can get pretty ugly, which is what's happened. So it's not just that it's going down. It's going down in the context of, I think, everybody ready for it to go up. And so the question is why. I mean, as we were discussing earlier off mic, it's just axiomatic that when countries engage in large deficit spending, it hits the currency. You had to remember that the reason gold has served as money for 4,000 years is because it is the most stable element. So when you see gold going down in nominal terms, it's really not going down. What's happening is that the currency is going up. The gold is the stable thing. So why is the dollar going up when it should be going down? It will go down. I mean, if our fiscal policy were being pursued by Argentina as it usually is, or Turkey or any other countries like that, the currency would collapse, as they do. The difference is not that the U.S. dollar is the reserve currency. To me, that's not really that important. What's important is that global debt is denominated primarily in dollars, and that's true for non-U.S. borrowers. You know, a Chinese company can go borrow dollars from a Hong Kong bank, even though the bank doesn't have any dollars. They just invent it. That's what the fractional bank system does. It allows banks to invent dollars they don't have. And so there's over $10 trillion of, you know, U.S. dollars that are borrowed into existence from nothing, offshore. And when the Fed raises rates, what happens is that those foreign borrowers have a big problem because they have to come up with more dollars, more interest payments to pay back their dollar debts, even though they have local revenue. And then what happens is their local currency start falling, and now they need more dollars, to not just the interest payment, but because locally it's becoming more expensive for them. So you get a huge short squeeze in emerging markets. And again, if you look at the U.S., everything seems hunky-dory. Our market's going up. You know, the FANGs have been a little choppy, but they're still pretty high. Gold is going down, and so everything looks fine. But you look at around the world, you see Argentina rolling over. You see Turkey collapsing. You see China. China's having big problems. And they every time they try to rein in the shadow bank system, as you know, they get big, big problems. The currency is doing, you know, very, very badly. Everyone assumes it's because they're so clever, they're doing it to fight the trade war. And that may be part of it, but it's also part of it that their bank exists, their assets are really, really bad. I mean, they've been building ghost cities for the last 10 years. The Chinese have, for the first time, allowed some big corporate bankruptcies to occur, and no one thought that would ever happen. So now people are getting spooked in China because they're worried about what else might be allowed to default. So there's lots of chaos going on all the world. It's just not here in the U.S. And so I think that, you know, one has to take a more global view of this. And consider that when you look at gold in non-U.S. dollar prices, it's not as bad. I mean, it's gone down a little bit in terms of the currencies, and I think very little in Chinese yuan terms. As you mentioned, the stocks themselves have gone down a bit, but not nearly as much as those of us who lived through 2014, you know, 13, 14, 15 are used to, when gold would take a little dip and the trap door to open and your stocks would just collapse. I mean, so that hasn't happened yet. I also think that when you look at the market, there are real signs of a bottom. We talked about the Vanguard fund that dropped the gold out of its name, in, I think, in 1996 or 7, right before the big bull market took off. And now they just dropped precious metals out of their name. Now it's the Vanguard. I think it's called the cyclical, Global Cyclical Fund. So they got rid of precious metals. And that's a good soft sign of the bottom. Hedge fund positioning is now record short again. And those guys almost always get it wrong. They were very, very long in January when gold was high. Now they're very, very short. So that's a good sign. So I do think that the world is very near to a problem. As I wrote in my last letter, you have interest rates rising, which is not good for projects financed at 0% interest over the last few years. Now when they roll their debt, they're going to actually pay interest, and that's a big shock. And on top of that, the yield curve is inverting. And since the whole financial universe is based on the idea that you borrow money short-term at a low interest rate and you lend it out long-term at a high interest rate, that is how the banks are structured. That's how the shadow banking system is structured. So when the curve inverts, when low rates go higher than long rates, that system not just breaks down, it starts unraveling. And so I think we're not very far from that happening. So, you know, to me, it's very clear from history, from theory, what the end game is. The path to get there is much less clear. And I think very few people were. I mean, what a bubble does is sprinkle wealth all over the place, and then when the bust comes, the market takes it back again, and most people lose it. So it's very, very hard to put yourself in a position where you can navigate these chaotic forces that are rushing around the globe trying to recover the money that was sprinkled out, artificial money that was sprinkled out during the bubble. But that's what's going to happen, I think, in the next stage as the yield curve keeps going higher and as it keeps inverting.
And I think everybody's waiting for that next stage when we do see that pullback. And just a quick note, that Vanguard Fund was renamed the Global Capital Cycles Fund, away from the Precious Metals and Mining Fund. So that just does go to show, again, the lack of interest that major players have in the market. But Dan, is that really what we're just waiting for? Is the next major recession? We need some sort of a significant pullback in risk on equities in in the U.S. and also internationally? Because right now the argument is almost being made that investors, when they want to put this massive amount of money that has been created, if they want to put it in anything, almost a safe haven thought now is going into actual U.S. equities, as crazy as that sounds.
Well, going back to the discussion of the precious metals and versus the sensitive assets, I mean, as I've been writing about for 10 years, gold always underperforms in a bubble. And there are reasons for that. It has to do with discount rates. And then it always outperforms in the crash. So right now, as long as the global central banks are adding liquidity, it's not just the banks. What the central banks do is they create reserves in the commercial banks, and it's the commercial banks that they go lend those reserves to use the reserves to create credit to lend them to big companies and to allow companies to repurchase their stock or engage in new projects, you know, or mergers. All those sort of things they do. So when the Fed or the central banks stop adding liquidity, it doesn't really matter if the commercial banks are willing to keep creating credit and to lever themselves up more. So it's a very sort of, you know, the system is also tightly strung that the action of the Fed necessarily has immediate effect. But it does eventually, because eventually what happens is that the banks find themselves more and more levered with all these malinvestments that at some point, without continual increase in fiat money, start to unwind. And then all of a sudden you get a crisis, and the crises are larger or less large depending on how levered the system is. What the interesting aspect of this period of financial excess, I think, is that the banks, because of all the rules put in place after 2008, are not as levered as they were, certainly. They're not as risky inside the bank. But they've moved all that activity to the shadow bank system. So it's also happening, more so than before. It's just not happening where it's visible. So I think no one's quite exactly sure where the imbalances are and what's going to happen. I'll give you a quick example of a fellow I was talking to who values illiquid assets for hedge funds, and one of the things they value are these private debt that hedge funds do. So banks don't do these crazy debts anymore, like vacation loans and loans to finance your wedding and crazy things like that. So the private companies do it, and these hedge funds were formed to put money into that kind of activity. The banks won't touch it, and they promise their LPs or investors 10-15% returns. Well, what happened is, because the market's so hot, you can get your vacation loan for an incredibly low interest rate, which gets insane, but there it is. So these hedge funds can't meet their hurdle rates. So what do? They go to the banks, and they borrow money from the bank to lever up this crazy debt they have, and that enables them to get the return they wanted to.
Unfortunately, we are out of time for this segment on the radio, but Dan and I did continue this conversation. If you want to hear the full interview, please visit our website, kereport.com, click on the Weekend Show posting, or download the full segment on our podcast, Corlin Economics Report. Everybody, stick around. I am going to be back with the second hour, continuing to focus on resources and the precious metals.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I am 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
This is Jessica Armand, founder of My Magic Mud. Our team helped organize a successful effort to remove fluoride from our city's water supply. This is our passion. My Magic Mud Oral Care purifies and brightens your smile naturally. GCN listeners, please support my family business by purchasing our product from your local health food store. We're also available at CVS Pharmacy. Or visit us at MyMagicMud.com and take 10% off now with coupon code GCN10.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.